There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I can't believe Chris Pratt lost all of that weight. I can't believe it.
Can't believe it.
I gotta tell you one, my main problem with the government is making the newspaper make me read.
I agree.
Is that if there's such a goddamn thing as global warming, why am I wearing a jacket?
Dude, that's a very smart point.
Right, and I'm starting to think, all right, my sister Bessie was sitting out. She lives in Flagstaff, Arizona. And there was a couple of chemtrails came over by the house, right?
Yep.
And one of her titties grew bigger.
Mm.
And what I want to say to government is, if you're going to be doing this, grow my sister's titties bigger, do it again and even them out.
Sounds like, yep.
All right? Don't just grow one. I think the chemtrails are good. I think they're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I got to tell you, I don't trust the moon.
Oh, you don't trust the moon?
All right. Are we beginning? Uh-oh. Put on your dumb hats, kids.
Oh, no. Here
What's
comes
up?
The moon.
Uh-oh.
Like everybody little... back off. The moon is coming to take our money. Uh-huh. The moon wants to take our jobs. I work at a Buick factory.
A Buick factory, even. Wow. Welcome to the show, everyone. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel.
Oh, God. The moon is our worst enemy.
Unbelievable. Today's episode, specifically stupid, it's all about the hollow moon.
Oh, Lord, no.
What could that hollow moon possibly be full of? I'll tell you what it is.
What is it?
Iranians.
It's Iranians? The Iranian military is inside the hollow moon. Holy Christ. Everybody, we're going to really put you into a space that makes you feel like you're a child again, because your brain is going to have to shrink to a size where you think colors can talk.
This is definitely an episode that the information we give you will possibly make you dumber.
Oh, definitely make you dumber. Do not repeat. Do not repeat. This is not job interview conversation.
No. Technically, it killed my relationship.
Well, let's not go into that too deep before we get sad. Marcus, Hollow Moon, start us off.
I just want to do a little treatise first, right? I think this episode that we're about to walk into is a... I think it's about conspiracy theory in general.
Yes.
I think that this is a type of conspiracy theory. So what's the general rundown of the hollow moon theory?
The general rundown of the hollow moon theory is that the moon is not the moon that we think it is.
What is the moon? Because right now I think of the moon, the thing that brings in the ocean tide, the thing that really helps us. Okay, wrong. The thing that helps the whole world go round.
Wrong.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
What is the moon?
What isn't it?
Well, no, but what is it? Because you can't... This is what they do.
This is literally every single one of these websites, you go to research the information. And so basically, most of the hollow moon theory is based on people being like, well... Nobody said it isn't hollow.
That's true, right.
And I think that our government... The secret machinations of our government connects
to
the media.
Do you have to swallow deeply before you...
I think
that our government, and then there's always a deep sort of a snake swallowing an egg type sound.
To get the audience on board. Our government loves these type of conspiracy theories because they are so stupid. And I think it's what you're watching here in the Hollow Moon theory is we're going to see a lot of people in emotional turmoil who have turned towards debasing the moon because either they lost their job or like Bessie walked out and so now they hate the moon.
Right.
Because these guys actually hate the moon.
They hate the moon. They despise the moon. They stare at it every single night and never brought their wife back.
And the government loves these conspiracy theories because they're so silly, and now what they can do is they can help brand anybody who's a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist as a moron by lumping it all together.
I believe that the Saudi king knew that 9/11 was about to occur and he personally encouraged the 15 hijackers to cause 9/11 and come over
but
here.
But if you've liked one single like Bradley Cooper is in fact in reality Chris Kyle in real life. Like on one of those videos, they know for a fact that you are a moron and you cannot be trusted.
But then they're also they just lump it in. Well, you also probably believe the moon is hollow, don't you? And then now you're the jackass.
Nobody says it isn't. You mean to tell me you put me up? All right, you put me through 12 years of science training and experimental piloting. You put me in a rover. You send me to the goddamn goddamn moon, and I will come back and show everybody. I'll stick a stick. I got a dipstick for my Ford. Huh. I'll stick into the center of the moon. Right. Show y'all how hollow that be.
So if there's no oil on the end of it, then it's hollow.
It's quart low.
The moon is a quart low.
Well, I think moon conspiracy theorists, there are two different camps. There are people that, of course, very upset about their lives. I watched a video in which one of the experts looked like he had been up crying all night. But the other side...
It's like certain conspiracy. It's like moon... Hollow moon means if you believe that the moon is hollow, I think you're probably going through some sort of like tax evasion sort of like court
tax
case.
Evasion, yeah.
But if you believe the moon is a hologram, you lost your family in a car fire. You lost your family to another man, a man who literally just showed up and said, Gerald, I need you to sit down. We need to have a frank conversation about how I'm taking your family. You just have to deal with it.
I think the hologram moon seems more reasonable to me, but we'll get into it.
Absolutely. And I think the other part of the other camp, as far as like hollow moon goes, spaceship moon, all that type of stuff, they're pretty much the same as creationists. They cannot stand the fact that the universe is chaos and that it all came from nothing and that there is just the tiniest reason why we're here. They have to believe that everything was made for us. They're the watchmaker theorists. You know, like the creationists that say, you know, if you come upon a beach and you find a watch, someone had to have made that watch. These people use the exact same argument for the moon. They say, you know what? It's just too perfect.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit too perfect.
I mean, it's got pockmarks all over it, like it had bad acne as a child.
Yeah, that's all part of it.
Okay.
We'll get to that. So let's get into some... Let's start off with some actual science. Let's start off with...
I don't know, Marcus. I don't trust these scientists.
Yes, all that trading.
It's a heavy distrust of scientists. Each one of them had a stepdad who was a scientist who beat them through elementary school.
Well, I mean, it's really just people who wanted to be scientists, and then they went to science class, and then they got hit with the dumb stick like 1,000 times, and they're like, oh, I can't be a scientist. Never mind. You need to do research and know how to read.
What do you mean, scientist? Wait, all right, well, I can get a bunch of test tubes and a fancy coat.
Well, one of the things that these people really cling on to is that there actually isn't a scientific consensus for where the moon came from.
Yes, and in that lack of clarity, they're jamming these theories in there, which is true. It's an experiment. They don't know where the moon came from. They know for a fact that the moon was not necessarily there when we were first formed as a planet.
Yeah.
And so now they're trying to figure it out. I mean, because we got a moon.
We got one. Right.
Yeah.
And there's a thing here, too, that they also detest. I was looking this up, called the anthropic principle. Which is this idea, yes, that the universe, they believe that scientists use the anthropic principle, which basically means that the universe is just how it is.
Yeah.
And that the universe is made this way. The moon happened to work out with all these perfect characteristics that made life possible on Earth.
It's pretty much saying that it's perfect because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be here.
Sure.
Yes. And that's why it is.
Yeah.
And so they're like,
what's the problem here?
And they're like, well, that's just lazy.
You mean tell me
that's the lazy one? Not the person who's like, oh, and then they took an ice cream scooper to the middle and then Gorborg ate it for lunch because Gorborg loves inner moon.
They take $34.96 out of my check each week at the Checkers in order to pay for these Jew scientists to their carousel school.
Character that you're playing, Henry. Let's not bring the Jew scientists into it.
Well, some of the theories about how the moon was formed is that the moon spun off from the Earth's molten surface by centrifugal force, that it was formed elsewhere and then was subsequently captured by Earth's gravitational field.
When are we going to get to the fact that the moon is cheese? When do we talk about the truth?
That's ridiculous, Ben.
Okay, yeah. I'm an idiot.
The moon is a projection put up by Russian scientists to fake where they're hiding their space base in order to launch an aerial assault upon us once we get too lazy to have three wars going on.
My bad. I thought it was something you could put a chip on.
Yeah.
A little chip and cracker.
The only thing about it, and another one of the theories is that there was another planetoid that crashed into the Earth.
This is the generally accepted theory, the giant impact theory, that a Mars-sized planet crashed into Earth, the debris shot off of the planet and was formed eventually by gravity, and that created our moon system. Essentially,
and that makes sense because it's up there like Shoot the Freak. There's just constantly bullets flying all around, a.k.a. asteroids and comets.
But
that makes a lot of sense.
The problem with that theory is that they say that basically, would that not have teetered us off completely off our axis? Then they're trying to say there was a thing called the second impact, which is like fucking Evangelion. Neon Genesis. I like that show.
I like that show too. I'm watching it right
like
now.
Blood. Yeah, it's great.
Henry's being a little bit more openly blatant with his anime love. And again, I've told him not to mention these things on first, second, or 15th dates.
Yes. Yes. I'm learning new skips. Also, again, don't bring up the Hollow Moon.
Or about yes. No.
I also have also learned the hard way to not talk about how aliens, a UFO sighting, is a window through another dimension.
Mm-hmm. These are lessons we're going to learn through the week.
Yeah.
yes.
What was I saying?
The Hollow Moon.
So the idea is that they thought that first impact of a gigantic body up against our Earth would send us off our axis. Mm-hmm. There's another thing called second impact, which is the idea another body may have hit us from behind.
Sort of like a triple sumo wrestler type thing. So one sumo's about to go off the ring and another sumo comes and puts him right back in the middle.
But they said that that's statistically very improbable, but again...
Isn't that the whole thing with the Big Bang, that it's very improbable?
Everything's... It just happened. Okay. It already happened. Whatever it is, happened. So we got a moon.
Yeah, we know we got a moon.
Yeah, we are like, that's just for example, is that, you know, as far as life on this planet goes, we're primate people. You know, things progress that primates, that we eventually evolved into the humans that we are today. Other planets that have life, they had... Something different happened to them.
That made life happen to them.
That made life happen to them, which makes life their life different from ours.
Also, especially if you believe that our universe exists to create life, that life is an ever-present thing all over the universe, so this kind of shit happens all the time. That maybe a part of it is that the universe, if we want to get hooky-doo about it...
Let's do it.
The universe is a gigantic living conscious entity that we're all a part of, and the whole point is that life is just generated constantly, and that's just what happens.
Yeah.
And,
I don't understand a damn word you just said.
I follow
you're
you.
You're fine.
All right, that's good.
Well, you know what? All those theories... Let me tell you.
Horseshit.
We just heard a bunch of horseshit?
No, absolute
horseshit. All 100% horseshit.
All that true math, all that real science that we just read off.
Yeah, saying that the Earth is actually 4.527 plus or minus 0.010 billion years.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
You know, and that they share the same material, that it's work. It's actually all made out of all the same stuff that the Earth's mantle is made out of. So that fits that also that in the model. That's it. Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's all bullshit.
Yep.
The truth is that they have no idea where it came from. I got some information from our man, Mr. Former Footballer himself.
Turquoise jumpsuit, Jesus himself, David Icke.
Yes.
He has a lot of theories about the moon.
He's got a lot of theories about a lot of things.
He can dominate PowerPoint.
What are general things how we know that it's bullshit? Right, how do we know that the moon is bullshit?
First of all, the moon is bigger than it should be.
Yes, so the moon is a third of Earth's size. Every other planet in our solar system is a tiny little weeny moon. We've got a big old honking moon. I think it's mostly just because it's fucking like Texas. We got a big old awesome moon, and everyone's got to be fucking jealous of Earth because of how thick our moon is.
Yeah, we got the biggest moon around. That's what gives us our confidence. That's the big dick of the situation.
So yeah, but basically they say our moon's too big. Technically we're a binary planetary system.
Yes.
I think our moon is just perfect, and moon, you don't listen to them, baby. You're fucking
you're
gorgeous
beautiful
just
the way you are.
You can be the next swimsuit model in Sports Illustrated. They're getting big ones now.
I've been telling Neil Armstrong, next time we send him up to the space, we gotta bring him some moon Spanx.
Yeah.
He's gotta put some Spanx on that thick moon. I just can't stand it wiggling its butt around, telling me, oh, I gotta drop it like it's hot, moon. I won't do that.
I like a nice big frumpy moon. Stay you, moon. Stay you.
Moon's also older than it should be, and it is much lighter in mass than it should be. It also occupies an extremely unlikely orbit that is so extraordinary that all existing explanations for its present are fraught
with
difficulties.
It's exactly 1/400th the size of the sun.
Yeah,
its orbit puts it exactly 1/400th between us and the sun distance wise.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes the perfect eclipse.
Yeah.
Right?
And eclipses do not exist anywhere else in our solar system.
In a solar system.
It's a beautiful thing. I watched it with my Oma and Opa when I was in Germany in, I believe, 1995.
42?
Oh, no, 1940. Not 1942. That would age me. into the hundreds.
I know, like, you saw it, the big golden eagle out on the tower in front of Dachau, right.
You've
and
had
how
enough.
The eclipse
good
light bounced off the eagle.
Right.
Oh, so good
and
to see.
And then there you go. Don't, yeah, very fun stuff. Everyone's having a good time.
So, yes, and they say so the moon is a lot less dense than they think it should be.
Yeah.
Apparently,
why did
when
they think
were,
that?
Because when we did our first couple of space missions up there, the Apollo 11, Apollo 12, when they landed, basically they found that every single time any impacts happened on the moon would ring like a bell.
Yeah.
And it would ring for hours, which is like mm-hmm. they're used to. Like rocks do have that sort of like, kind of like a tuning fork
yeah.
thing. They resonate
sure.
when kinetic things happen to them, but not to this extent. So they're like, maybe the moon is not quite as dense as we think it is.
All right.
Which is also why something to do with the tides too. I blank out on the math.
Yep, why not?
Yeah, neither one of us are scientists. Mm. I'm more of a, I guess, an historian than a scientist. A lot of this stuff is gobbledygook to me. Bunkum, as they call it.
Yeah, isn't it all bunkum?
A lot of bunkum
there. I consider myself a digital troubadour.
And that's what people think about you as well, Henry. So it's not dense enough because it rings like a bell when the Apollo missions went over there and landed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's a major thing.
And Isaac Asimov, who is a scientist.
He is a scientist.
He is actually a scientist. He said that due to the Earth's weak gravity, the largest satellite that it could keep in orbit would be no more than 30 miles in diameter. The moon, however, is 2,160 miles in diameter. It is actually bigger than Pluto.
That means, I gotta tell you one thing, we can keep a satellite that big if it's got fucking thrusters like a spaceship.
You think the moon has thrusters like a spaceship?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay.
Well, one NASA scientist, he even said that it's easier to explain the non-existence of the moon than it is to explain its existence.
But I see the moon.
The moon's there.
He said it is more likely the moon is there due to observational error than it is that the moon actually exists.
My eyes are telling me there's a moon?
Observational error.
What about that song when the moon hits your eye like a great pizza pie?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
That's amore. That's what we know. Or do we?
That's true, exactly. Yeah. At amore, if there's nothing that doesn't fuck with the senses, it's the foul emotion of love.
That's right. That's right.
So, if the moon isn't the moon, what is it?
I don't know.
It's a not moon.
It's
That's the first thing we got to say. It's a not moon.
A not moon.
It's an anti-moon.
Yes. Anti-moon.
It is a hollowed out planetoid.
Okay.
Now, from what Henry just said, the scientists, they set up the size monitors on the moon, and they crashed the lunar module onto the surface with an impact equivalent to a ton of TNT. The shock waves of the moon ringing continued for 30 minutes.
Sounds like what they did was that they totally fucked up and crashed a lunar module on the moon, and then they were like, this experiment really worked, guys, that we were trying to do, slamming a $2 billion lunar module
totally.
On the moon. Good work, guys.
This is what they sent us up here to do, and we did it, goddammit.
A few years later, they did it again.
Perfect.
Another experiment with the
equivalent.
And
they wonder why they're cutting NASA's budget.
What we gotta do is get some landing gear on these things. We always forget the landing gear.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel bad for the pilots.
Oh, it's rough. It ain't easy being a pilot.
All those chimps and dogs.
Oh, my goodness. Well, at some point, you just gotta get me some human scientists to come up here with, not just cats and dogs and random strays.
We got all these chimp and dog scientists telling us the moon is real.
Yeah, well.
I can't handle it.
Mm.
So that another experiment with the equivalent of 11 tons of TNT made the moon react like a gong for 3 hours.
Is it Asian?
20 minutes. It's bong? No.
Okay.
The moon is not Asian.
All right. Well, we got to get all the questions out of the way.
Well, it's American until the Chinese get up there. Then it becomes Asian.
Yeah, they're almost there.
And they will replace our flag, I would assume.
I will imagine they will.
I would. Mm.
You got to.
I was a trepidatious Chinese astronaut full of fucking vile and just
scientists too.
Treachery.
They're probably you know.
No, they're very they're very
sweet. Yeah, they just have to comply with the government so they can get funded.
But they filled up this frag because I don't want to get wrinkled. So much dust over this frag. That's a travesty.
That is a travesty.
New Chinese frag, we win.
They do win. And then honestly,
Chinese gets the moon.
That is literally the most juvenile game of all. It's just it's just the it's you know. Capture the
the flag. That's all that it is with the moon. And as soon as the Chinese get to the moon, plant their flag, I guarantee you, we're on the moon planting our flag back
up. Team America.
Oh, yeah.
You want your moon back? We want Michael Jordan.
Then they can have Michael Jordan. He's 50-something years old. He's done.
So the question is, if it is a hollowed-out planetoid, where did it come from?
Yes.
Because it's ridiculous to assume that the universe would create a hollowed-out planetoid.
And the way I want to talk about too is that they have some details too about the planetoid. Is that it's a possible metal core with 25 miles of natural armament around it in order to fool us to think that it's a moon.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And then there's
and no thrusters and no like boosters on it. It worked entirely on gravity. It's a slow moving space station.
Definitely Russians listening to bad techno music.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that could be in there.
And them just working out for hours.
It's beautiful.
When do we break out of the moon? I'm thinking they forgot we were in here, boy.
I think that they might have, yeah.
So the moon could be the creation of alien intelligence. This is the spaceship moon theory, and this was put forth by a pair of Soviet scientists back in the 1970s. It says that the moon is a creation of an alien race who parked it in Earth's orbit long, long ago.
Now,
and they just left it there like an old car in the back of a Walmart that's just sort of been there for 10 years and the town doesn't know why or where it came from.
We'll get to that.
Or they're still inside of it. And the idea, so it's there's lots of whys and who's and what's over there, and there's most of the highs and the who's and the what's are either number one, they planted us here.
No, I thought you were going to go
seeding race.
I thought you were going to do an Abbott and Costello bit there. The who's, the whys, and the what. Who's
that's
on
not that is not
who's the whys and the what.
That is not the bit.
Yeah,
that's
whys
the bit.
Is on third. What's in the outfield?
Who's on first? What's on second?
No. What's,
I don't know who's
on
first. On
third.
We could do this all day. See, this is that's the magic of comedy.
I believe it's what's in the box.
No, what's in the moon? That's what we're talking about.
Oh yeah, what's in the moon? So the surface of the moon. There are some things that could support this. The surface of the moon contains processed metals like brass and mica, which aren't things that occur naturally. Those are not elements that occur naturally. They also found radioactive nuclear waste that is found in spent nuclear fuel and other byproducts of nuclear reactors, and that is the byproduct in the production of plutonium.
So is it just our big nuclear dumping ground? Is it just a big garbage can?
No. That comes from the manufacturing of the moon and things on the surface of the moon, which we'll get into later. They also found titanium on the moon,
which is a smelted metal.
Yeah,
smelted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smelted.
I didn't know that was.
You need to read more fantasy novels.
I must. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not. Yeah.
It contained much more titanium in the moon rocks they brought back. Contained much more titanium than you would find in rocks on Earth. It is also these rocks are also very poor heat conductors, which is perfect for satellite conditions. You don't want your satellites to be heat conductors. Whatsoever.
I mean, generally, you want them to be small and covered in like solar panels and all this stuff, and
generally.
You want them to have like cameras and stuff like that.
Right.
But I guess if you were going to make it like a gigantic moon, you could just do it like that.
Yeah. It makes all the sense in the world.
They say the shell is probably double layered. Mm-hmm. The basis is a dark armoring of about 20 miles in thickness, and outside of it, some kind of more loosely packaged covering, a thinner layer of about 3 miles. And that thinner layer is where we see all the craters. That's where we see all of the little pock marks. And the other thing about those craters and pockmarks is that those should be much deeper than they actually are.
So they just cut a tennis ball in half.
And
then we're just like, that's like the moon.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The fuzz is the outer layer. The rubber is the inner layer. And then the hollow thing.
Is the nothing.
And you stuff it with match heads and then you throw it against the wall and it explodes.
I will say that these Soviet Union scientists would have made amazing dungeon masters.
Oh, yeah. For a D&D game.
Yes. Great detail. The amount of work that they put into creating this fantasy.
But are they creative enough? I feel like you would just play
this
the same game
creative.
Over and over again. But this is it.
No. The problem is it would be like, you're on the surface of the moon. You, Gladriel, elf thief. You are going to go dig into, roll to see if you could dig and get to the real titanium core of the moon.
Oh, man.
Well, let's just remember that one time a girl did love you. man, it's going to be rough.
Not anymore.
Also interesting to note that some moon rocks have been discovered to be much older than rocks on Earth, even though both were apparently formed during the same period. Mm. And some scientists say that this might be because the Earth is still geologically active. We're still creating rocks every day.
I see.
Yeah.
I create rocks all day long. Dookie rocks.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I'm a little moon factory down here.
That's what your mother used to say. Henry, do you need to go make a hollow moon?
Yes, I do, Mommy. Okay. How did you know? It's because I was already doing it.
Yeah, so we take Henry, we put him on the toilet.
Well, how it works here on Earth. And remember, during this entire episode, remember, not a scientist. Definitely not a scientist.
Right, no.
But from what I understand, new rocks here on Earth are being formed every day, while old rocks are returned to the mantle through the process of subduction.
Marcus, go into subduction.
Subduction.
Go into it.
It's when stuff goes like back inside.
No,
it's
I got
like,
it good.
It's when things are like sucked back into like rock earth.
Yeah, you know what it is,
well,
right?
Yeah, no, but subduction is the act of the it's like when the earth goes, we're not scientists.
No, again, do not use this on your science exam.
Subduction is when they say, when the earth says, come inside.
Right.
Come inside.
Are
you
subducting, Mrs.
Robinson?
When
the earth seduces, it's subduction. Very good.
But proponents of the hollow moon theory say that this is further proof that the moon was constructed elsewhere and brought here by an alien race.
All right.
Since now, there is no subduction.
Would they tow it with them like a person tows their boat out to Lake Dubay to go fishing on a Sunday?
Also, the guys who run the website whobuiltthemoon.com, can't believe they got that URL, by the way. That's great.
Whobuiltthemoon.com?
Yeah. These guys. What was his name again? It was...
Alan Butler.
Their theory is that...
Alan Butler and Christopher Knight.
Mm-hmm. Their theory is that they're like, if you look at human society, right? 1 out of 10 people in human society are some form of criminal, some sort of outcast, right?
1 out of 10? More than that.
This is what they're saying.
I mean, that's what they say. I think they just guessed that.
Listen to my theory.
I think they do a lot of guessing is what I believe it's so far.
So he says you extrapolate that out to the rest of the universe, right? You're going to get a lot of, you're talking 1 out of 10 out of the whole universe. It's a lot of outlaws. And a lot of times these outlaws got to hide out. So why wouldn't the moon then be a great hideout spot for outlaw aliens, for literally like carjacking aliens and like rapist aliens. All them cool aliens.
He's saying the moon is Mos Eisley.
Yes.
Yeah, from what was
Star Wars.
Star Wars, or what's the name of that one movie with the galaxy? Not the Guardians of the Galaxy, but they're going around.
Galaxy Quest.
Think about that.
What does it have to do with Galaxy Quest?
I don't know, but there's another one out there with the guy and the face, and then he transforms his face a bunch of times.
Face Off?
Not Face Off. Amazing movie. Watch it every Saturday.
Guy with the face, changing his face?
Changes his face a bunch. It's a movie. It's in the galaxy. Galaxy, not Galaxy Quest.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
No, amazing show, though.
You're talking
great
about
action.
Krull.
I'm not talking about Krull. Forget about
speaking it. Speaking of Krull.
I'll think
now,
of it.
It's the moon is proven to be hollow, or at least let's presuppose that the moon is hollow. It's hypothesizing.
Mm-hmm.
We can only come to one conclusion because it would be silly to assume that the moon is nothing more than an empty trunk. There's
that would
nothing
be silly.
Inside.
That is silly.
That is very silly. One explanation is that it is a very ancient spaceship, the interior of which was filled with fuel for the engines, materials, and appliances for repair work, navigation instruments, observational equipment, and all manner of machinery. In other words, everything necessary to enable this caravel of the universe to serve, as David Icke said, a Noah's Ark of intelligence, perhaps even the home of a whole civilization, envisaging a prolonged existence and long wanderings throughout space. That it is a moving colony.
Absolutely.
That everything that you need and to live, because what they say, because if you think about how we approach space travel, how humans approach space travel, even traveling at the speed of light, the journey to the next solar system would take at least 4 years. Not to mention the next inhabitable solar
system.
So
the idea is that you would not live to see the destination, is that your generations would live to see the generation. We see this in sci-fi.
Spaceship.
ship all the time. Mm-hmm. But this time, I just don't think that's happening.
All right, everybody. I have an answer to the question that I asked myself. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, no, thank it's you. Exactly like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Thank you, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah, and you're thinking of Zaphod Beeblebrox.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, Marcus.
And in fact, there was, and I believe in the...
Ben is sweating right now. I just want to say Ben is, his hair is matted to his forehead. He is a troubled man. He was yelling like this outside. He was screaming about a man with multiple faces on the street in front of the creek.
It's a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and anyway.
In fact, I think this also ties in this generational spaceship. If I remember correctly, there were five books in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy's theory, and I think in the book So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, I believe that Ford Prefect and Arthur got onto a spaceship that was a generational spaceship that was on its way to Earth, but it was filled with hairdressers and all the useless people on a planet, and so therefore our planet is populated essentially by the useless dregs of another planet. So you're right, Ben.
Absolutely. Thank you, Marcus.
Like Australia, but more fun.
So, yes. Okay.
This pretty much, these generational ships, is it says that if there's no worm, like if they don't use wormhole technology, if they don't use shortcut technology, then they have to use generational spaceships. And the moon, while gigantic, it is a gigantic, I mean, it would be, if this is a binary planetary system,
yes,
then the moon technically would be big enough to house a working civilization.
Absolutely. Sure. They said that if you hollowed out the moon, it's like you can literally get like half an Earth inside the moon.
Yeah, how it's pretty much like, think about like the moon is Snowpiercer. That's pretty much what it is.
No, they don't hollow out the moon. The moon was just built. The
it
moon,
was built that
the whole
way.
Outside is fake. The whole outside is a construct to either protect it from debris or to make it camouflage for maybe nefarious purposes.
Very interesting.
Yeah, because if you think about it, for most of the Earth's history, we haven't even been able to get close to the moon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It took us, hundreds of thousands of years for us to go from Australopithecus afarensis to Neil Armstrong.
And they also a lot of this is based on theories, too, that there were ancient writings that talked about how there was no moon in the sky.
Yeah.
They believe that the moon may have only showed up something like 12,000 years ago, and they because of these ancient writings that people were talking about, like about the time before the moon, which I just also just think it just sounds like a cool song that you can write to help you get laid by Shelley.
The time before the moon.
Time before the moon.
I love this song.
When the only light was the light of your eyes, girl.
Wouldn't there be an ancient book just called like Holy Fuck There's a Moon?
Yeah.
Like, whoa. Never saw that huge moon before. I feel like people would have made a larger deal of it.
Hey, there's a thing up there. Hey, everybody, let's call it a moon.
Why not? Where
by
did it come
Boris
from?
Morosky.
There's a B-52 song called There's a Moon in the Sky, and it's called The Moon.
They were having fun.
It's a shame they're not around anymore.
I love the B-52s, man. They
were
had
great.
Two fantastic albums.
Yep, Love Shack was.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to... Okay, and I got to say, Henry, thank you for the Coast to Coast subscription for my birthday.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. Very nice gift, Henry.
I'm a good friend.
Henry just put himself in the power triangle with his hands. He has the power triangle on, and he feels as if Marcus just kissed his little Lord ring.
You're welcome.
Return it. Look how smug he is about it. Return it, Marcus.
I thanked my friend for a nice gift.
And then look at the way he reacts. He has given you life so you can go on and spread the Parks family name.
You're welcome for the gift, Marcus.
You're a lunatic.
He has given me the gift of George Norrie, which has gotten me through some hard times over in the last couple months.
He's an absolute legend.
So there's a great episode featuring this investigative journalist, Rob Shelsky.
Again, what I love is that I love the term investigative journalist because
it is a self-proclaimed term.
Some might say stalker of the moon.
Yes, he is the author of For the Moon is Hollow, which combines his education in the sciences and his investigation of paranormal and anomalous phenomena.
Cool.
Yeah, he said that they don't know whether the moon was manufactured or if it was hollowed out. He definitely sways towards it was manufactured.
Yes, it was built that way. And a lot of it, too, is that a big problem that scientists have in general is the idea that if there was a giant impact, why aren't there, like, Planet X collects stuff on both us and the moon.
Yeah,
is that there should be debris from whatever this unnamed planet was on either side of it, and they can't find it because it seems like the Earth is just made out of the Earth's mantle material, and so that's a big thing that they use that fact
to hollow out the moon. Just seems like a. Seems like something like Dr. Evil, Mike Myers' character, might do. Yeah. Like, go hollow out the moon.
But is it not true that every thought that we have, every literary thought, every imaginative thought, what we're doing is spinning it out into a new reality?
It's
so
not
yes,
true.
Dr. Evil was fake in this realm.
Right.
But could it not have been channeled by Mike Myers from a real Dr. Evil?
It's not true. No, I can't. No, I can't.
It's a Lorne Michaels impression.
Oh, very good.
Yes, it is.
I remember that from IMDb.
Yeah, I remember that as well. So another thing that Chelsky says is that there seem to be things, quote unquote, going on up there.
They said lots of lights.
Blue lights,
mm-hmm. Drifts of smoke, moving objects, apparent pictures of things on the moon, structures on the moon, landed spacecraft on the moon.
Yes.
All of which are false.
Well, I mean, the structures that they say, are we getting into the bridges and the...
Not yet. We're gonna get into the structures here in a bit. But yeah, flashes, blue lights, clouds, mist, vapors, sparkling areas. Chelsky said that all of this blue stuff came from a NASA report, although I did not see the NASA report myself, just taking his word for it.
Yeah, Rob Chelsky's... I mean, that's Rob Chelsky's immaculate word as an investigative journalist. Mm-hmm. You can't question him.
Mm-hmm. And Rob, he also... Hey, Rob, you have to stop scratching out manager here at Checkers with the investigative journalist. No, right? Wait, but when you put on the uniform, you're the manager.
You're right.
Okay, so let's keep it that way.
I should make more time for my investigative journalism.
Well, when you step out the building, what are you?
What is? I'm an investigative journalist.
But inside, you're the manager.
So Chelsky also says that the moon may not be the only hollow moon in the solar system. He said that Phobos, Mars moon of Phobos, is probably hollow.
He went as far to call it a prototype for our moon.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you notice, Phobos looks like shit.
I messed up the first moon.
They did. Oh. It looks. Phobos looks like a big potato. Ours is very.
I hate that.
It's very.
Ours is so nice surround.
So nice surround.
That's
so smooth.
My big thing is we come over Earth. Hey, come take a look. Hey, we got a nice moon, huh? Hey, quit staring at my moon. Or that's my moon.
So Rob Chelsky, he believes that the aliens inside the moon are still there. He said they are probably xenophobic. They don't like.
Why are they xenophobic?
They don't like. I mean, a
have
whole
we seen
host
them?
Of reasons.
Have we seen them? Are they out? Are they out doing barbecues, flipping burgers, waving at us? No, they're not.
It's because they don't give the Midwestern hello and have people over for a random barbecue.
They didn't bring a single casserole to come say hello. And I also love George Norrie asked the worst questions of the face of the planet. And he says, like, Rob, could you tell me? How big is the hole on the moon, you think? He literally asked that question, and Rob is just like, you know, I imagine that the hole's got to be big enough to get a spaceship through.
Yep. So pretty big, George.
Pretty big, George.
Wow, that's really wild.
That's really wild stuff.
That certainly is a lot of information that you've given me
there. I got to tell you, me and my nephew Tyler went out and dug a hole in our backyard. And I asked Tyler, how big you think the hole on the moon is, Tyler? And he said, oh, Uncle George, you're not supposed to be visiting anymore.
Oh, let George see
his nephew. I was like, why do you think I steal you from your parents, little Tyler? Sweet, sweet little Tyler. Come and dig this hole with me.
That's terrible. Let George see his nephews. Come on, law enforcement.
You know where we're going to put in this moon hole, Tyler? Dead cat I found on the side of the road. Just because I like to make funerals happen, my little nephew, Tyler.
Oh, what a lucky nephew he is.
So, Chelsky says that from that hole is what they call the Blue Gem Crater. That's its actual name, this Blue Gem Crater, because there is a lot of blue activity there.
Okay.
And he says that's where spaceships come and go. Plenty of blue flashes.
Sure.
He's got some evidence as far as why the moon is hollow, or at the very least fake. Mm. He said there's problems with every single theory about where the moon came from. Truly circular orbit. orbits as our moon has. It says completely circular are very rare, and the chances are extremely low that it just came in an orbit like that.
That perfectly circular orbit and the way it crosses our sun allows the Earth to be perfectly evenly heated.
Yeah.
And it also keeps us on our axis. What they're saying is that if we had a normal, what was that term, like oval-shaped?
Angular.
An angular
orbit.
If we had a normal angular orbit, the Earth would have tilted to its side. It would say, I guess the term is flipped. The Earth would have like fallen off its axis.
And then all the water would have dumped out?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not, I don't think it's like Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, I see.
But I do, but no, but so they're like, isn't it a coincidence?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, no, it's why there's life on the planet. You fucking assholes.
That's right. That's why you can have your wonderful website, whobuiltthemoon.com.
Yeah, you should be grateful to the goddamn moon.
Well, you know.
Soshelsky also proposed another theory. You know, Henry, you said that it was possibly a criminal enterprise, possibly a criminal hideout. But Soshelsky says that it's possibly an intelligent civilization using a hollow moon to, quote, set sail on the cosmic sea.
Literally just surfs up. That's what he really believes. Yeah. It's literally just like.
Cool.
Yeah. And he said that they could use it as a refuge to hide from more predatory species.
So it's just a bunch of ex-cons up there. There needs to be a movie made with Stallone and Arnold and a whole series of other action figures trying to escape the moon.
There needs to be a documentary with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Send them to the moon and have them go look for the hole.
Yes, that would be a better film there.
Yeah. And as far as the recorded history goes, a number of ancient civilizations, such as the Mayans, spoke of a time when there was no moon.
And they didn't get anything wrong.
No.
Mayans nailed it. We're not in the year 2015 right now.
Now they invented soccer.
And but they used to use human heads that they would kick around after they behead somebody for looking at a woman all odd.
Basketball, too.
Yep, there was human heads in that as well, and the losing team got murdered. So that's how you made more basketballs.
What about tamales?
They definitely
tamales are delicious.
Tamales, I believe that is a mestizo recipe.
Mestizo, though.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? That's when we raped them, right?
That's when the Spanish raped them.
Yeah, not us.
No.
Anyway, back to the hollow moon.
Aristotle, he referred to an ancient race in Greece who said they existed before there was a moon in the sky. And Henry, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it Aristotle or Plato that was a big proponent of Atlantis?
Well, Plato was a toy.
I believe that
Play-Doh. We're talking about Plato.
You're sticking me here. I believe it's Aristotle. They both talked about, the idea is they would talk about a pre-civilization of a land of giants. That was a thing that every culture's talked about for years and years, which is a whole episode we'll eventually do.
Mm-hmm. That did exist, and then they murdered all of us brutally, and that's why we were prehistoric, because we were all fucking thought to be, you know, too strong to live. Very angry, very angry.
So this suggests to Mr. Shelsky.
Plato.
Was Plato. Okay. So it says that he suggests that the moon was maneuvered into its current position thousands or tens of thousands of years ago.
That's a tough park job.
That's a real tough park job.
I would hate to be in charge of that. The backing up, the parking kittywampus.
Or having an alien next to you go, man, like, you got 6 feet.
Yeah. You got 600 no, 6 feet.
You
got
to cut the wheel. Cut the wheel.
God damn it.
Clydesdale, why didn't you just come in here and park it yourself? I'm smoking a cigarette.
This is my break. Union mandated. I've got for our next subject, I've actually got to give one of our listeners credit for posting something on the Facebook page just a couple days ago that had to do with this exact subject that we're talking about. I think we might have a bit of a psychic on our hands out on the Facebook page. I don't know exactly what the guy's name is, but he posted something about the moon being a hologram.
Now, the moon as a hologram, theory, to me, is the saddest conspiracy theory I've ever seen. Because it's literally just like, you don't trust anybody.
I agree, but you got to stay looking at the moon just in case you see somebody accidentally walk in front of the projection screen, and then you know it's a hologram. Or if it just becomes Tupac because they put the wrong disc in.
Who just walked across the moon projection? Is that Raul Julia? He's alive?
It's always been me. I'm alive.
Oh, I love that guy. And he wasn't a great,
what a great character actor.
Sergeant from Street Fighter.
That would be M. Bison.
He wasn't a great Bison.
Dictator. He was a wonderful Bison.
You thought you liked him as Bison?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The day that you met M. Bison was the most important day of your life.
And it was.
For me,
It was Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it was Tuesday. Yeah.
It was. By the way, that was listener Mike Bean who posted the hologram video. So the video that he showed, it was a man who apparently has been watching the moon for over a year, just staring at the moon every single night.
I wish he would do one of those YouTube things or internet things where you take a picture of yourself every single day for a year and you get to watch it in like 10 seconds.
And also, in another life, like literally 300 years ago, that would have made this man like Garcia Lorca. Like he would have been a romantic poet. But instead, he became this. No. He became Seacrow 777 on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Not the right time for this guy to be alive.
Definitely not. But he stared at the moon looking for quote unquote objects.
Just from Earth, no telescope or?
No, he's using a telescope. Okay. He's using a telescope, he's using an additional camera, and he's recording everything.
Oh, did you see his apparatus too when it showed it? It showed, maybe I'm thinking of the other guy, Dave Johnson. Yeah. He showed his apparatus for filming the moon to make sure that it was a hologram.
Beautiful.
And it's literally just like straight up a VHS recorder duct taped to a telescope. Like, no joke.
So he saw, he was watching playback from one of his moon recordings, and he saw hologram waves moving from the bottom of the moon to the top of the moon on two separate occasions.
What's sadder, watching the moon or then watching the footage of you watching the moon?
Watching the footage of you watching
the moon. That is, watching the moon game tape is the saddest exercise.
He says that this is not how a digital camera malfunctions. A digital camera malfunctions through pixelation. We see this on, the buffering errors when people say, like, here's a reptilian shapeshifter.
Right.
We see that as well. But he says the wave, and I watched it, it is definitely a wave, moves independent of the panning of the camera from the bottom of the moon to the top, and it seems to bulge out in the middle. Now, he said that after posting this video, he got a lot of traffic from the UK and from New Zealand.
Wow.
And he said that he was contacted by the astral photographer for New Zealand, he guesses, telling him why he's so scientifically wrong, but this guy from New Zealand won't provide him with the images of Mars he's asking for. So
whoa, this what is what he's asking about.
So, you know, he's wrong.
There's a feud going on. I mean, someone's withholding information and somebody else wants it.
Now, this guy's single.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. I hope so. For if he was with the partner, that person, that's the saddest life.
But yeah. I do like this. Like, love his theory that the moon is actually there, but they cover with a hologram to keep people from seeing what's really going on the moon, which is like, you know, when you have to go to bed early and you think your parents are up eating ice cream and stuff and like dancing in the living room. That's what our government is doing. They're just up there and it's just like every time Barack Obama goes on vacation, he just goes to the fake party house on the moon. Like a big real world like pool house.
Yeah.
So we can't give all the credit to Seacrow 777 because he doesn't give all the credit. He said that apparently Jive Bop and Jungle Surfer have been doing great work on the moon hologram
Jive
subject.
Bop and Jungle Surfer.
Uh-huh.
These are the scientists that we're going to.
These are the scientists we're going to. And Seacrow said that if you want to talk to him, he is boycotting Google Plus.
He is.
So that's going to make it harder.
That's going to make it much harder.
I hope Google can make it.
He said he could tell you a few reasons why Google Plus is bad. Because he has a degree in internet technology.
And that's not a worthless piece of paper at all.
And there's another guy named Dave Johnson who put up basically saying that he had footage and proof that the hologram, that the moon was a hologram by using a thing called photo forensics, which is a hacker tool that basically you use it to tell whether or not an image is photoshopped or not. And I don't know how it works, but he would just show pictures of the moon, then do it like, basically it would turn it into like a negative, and then he'd be like, and there you could see it. It's a hologram. And I was like, I can't see.
Can't
it. I don't
see
know.
It.
But his theory is that it's a projection and that it's fake, that the moon is fake, and it's a projection used by the Russians to hide their secret space station. But he also does believe the International Space Station is fake.
Uh-huh.
He believes that is fake. What I said before, he believes that Bradley Cooper is Chris Kyle.
Yes.
And that it's a bit of a fabricated story. He also believes that Aurora is fake and Sandy Hook and 9/11 and I'm definitely the Charlie's Angels sequel.
Yep, definitely believe that.
That was a fake.
That's
and by
fake.
The way, not only is 9/11 fake, 9/11, nobody died in 9/11. That's what he believes, that nobody died in 9/11.
It was an
nobody
orchestrated
died in
theatrical Sandy event, yeah.
He was
yeah,
also pissed the raccoon wasn't nominated for the best actor role in Guardians of the Galaxy because he thinks that's real.
So let's say, okay, so let's move on. Okay, say the moon isn't a hologram. Let's just say
what?
The moon isn't a hologram.
But we know that it is.
I'm already.
Let's say it isn't.
I don't know. Okay. I'm already so far to the other side. I don't know who to trust or what to trust. I think the sun's God's flashlight.
I just wish they would just play like Wet Hot American Summer on there sometimes. I love that movie.
That'd be fucking
the moon
dope.
Could like play that sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
play Major League on that or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, just like Friday night movie night on the moon. That would be great, government, because we know you're just projecting whatever the hell you want to anyway on there.
So let's move on from expert C. Crow 777 and let's go to another hero named Vito Sacheri.
Oh, this guy's awesome. Nah.
This guy had, he's the only one fighting for America.
He is. They just stormed, what building did they storm? They stormed the federal building.
They stormed the gates of NASA, my friend.
There was a book, who wrote Somebody Else Is on the Moon?
I don't know.
It's this book called Somebody Else Is on the Moon. There was literally like 750 mass market copies like made in the 70s.
Whoa.
Vito found it and he brought it to NASA. Literally went to the offices of NASA.
Yeah.
Petroleum engineer Vito Sacheri. And he's like, you proved to me that these photos are fake. And so what this book shows are grainy photos that people took from telescopes in the 60s mm-hmm. of various structures that were found on the moon mm-hmm. That were, I don't know how to put it, dubious.
Yes. So they calmed Vito down. They definitely had to calm him down.
Well,
for his own health.
At first, they wouldn't see him.
Right.
Because it said, Vito said that him and a quote-unquote friend who remained unnamed, because we came upon Vito in a Netflix documentary called Aliens on the Moon.
Not a subtle title.
No, definitely.
In fact, I texted Ben and Henry yesterday and said, like, hey, what's the name of that documentary about aliens on the moon? And they both immediately texted me back, aliens on the moon.
Yes. They want you to get the information.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be confused when Googling it.
No.
Definitely
no,
not.
No, not at all. So Vito and his friend, they stormed the gates and NASA, they placated him. They said, like, all right, like, go home, fill out all these forms, and, you know, we'll get back to you when you can. But Vito, he called back NASA, and he said, if you don't show me the high-res photos that are in Somebody Else Is on the Moon, I am going to make hundreds of copies of Somebody Else Is on the Moon.
And I'm going to drop them off at people's houses.
Yes, like a dumb delivery man.
Yes, and I'm going to disseminate them everywhere.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
What kind of mess are you going to have in your hands, NASA?
And then what are you going to do? I can literally see the scientist's response, where he takes off his glasses and rubs his brow, and he just sits there, I guess I had to get all those equations in by four, but I guess I could just wait. Vito, just come inside. Come and stop yelling. Stop yelling, Vito, please. Please, just come inside. And so they let him inside, and they showed him all the high-res stuff.
Yeah.
They gave it to him. And
thousands of pictures.
It's really cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
pictures.
They're super cool pictures.
Yeah, and he
pictures.
Made a big deal, and he's just like, and they had it. There was an officer standing above me, just making sure I wasn't knowing the full truth.
They were making
You're a
sure
lunatic,
you weren't
Vito.
Jerking off on it, Vito.
Right, yes, like, he was trying to steal it.
And Vito, but he said that he saw structures, pipelines, bridges, machinery, tank tracks, all kinds of manufactured technology. He said that he saw what appeared to be a cooling tower from a nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm. A gun turret, spaceship launched
over a mile long. Yeah, he said they also appeared to be like radio satellites, like those used, not in CERN, in SETI, S-E-T-I. That's the signals that we send out into space to see if aliens respond to us. So they said that they saw shapes of satellites that looked a lot like theirs. And really, one NASA photographer said that doctoring photographs is all a part of the job.
And it's really common. I've actually heard that, too, in terms of like when you go into different alien evidence, like all the pictures of the UFOs, a lot of times they're doctored.
Yeah.
They'll be kind of, but they're old school doctored.
Yeah.
It's not like they literally airbrush
they cut it
the negative.
They splice it.
Yeah.
They, yeah.
But yeah. It's Looney Tunes.
It's very funny.
So what they do with how they prove it all is, so Aliens on the Moon is so funny. We'll just show like a screen cap from Google Moon.
And then you see nothing.
Right. And then they use the paintbrush tool and just click it. And then like a blob shows up. And then they're like,
or the
you
paint
see
bucket
that?
Tool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paint
yeah.
bucket tool. And then they see highways, road structures. None of it makes any sense.
None of it makes any sense. They just kind of put images on it. It looks like a Rorschach test.
Yeah. It really does. And then
when you click right here, you could see
my ex-girlfriend Stacy's on the moon.
Probably blowing Rob.
Probably blowing Rob. He works at the Family Video. He's got a good job. And then during the Aliens on the Moon, they also interview a scientist, a beautiful gal with red hair. And she basically just lays out the... what we know to be the truth at this point,
and keeps
and completely
back to
debunks
her.
Everything that they just say.
She's like, really a lot of those tricks. She's like, yes, it's true. There is a lot of interest in alien races and things going on. You could see by the social media websites and all different websites made, but most of this is just done by asteroid contact. There's just like all of this is just, this is fine. We love the interest they're getting. That's what she was kind of basically saying. Just like, we love that people come to, because you work for NASA. She's like that people are interested in it and will come talk to her about stuff. And then she can be like, here's a pamphlet of what the real shit is. You know, please stop. Please stop yelling, sir.
And then right after the narrator would come in and said, but is it possible that this could have been a structure put here by an alien
also the
race?
Best part about Aliens on the Moon is that every question they're asked is a simple, it's just going, all you have to go is no. Absolutely not. No.
Someone's got to deflate this moon. That's
but
all I'm
could
saying.
It be?
No. No way.
Nope.
Is it possible?
Nope. No way.
There's never a large worm.
Have we asked the question?
Yes, you have, and the answer is no. Yeah.
There's a great bridge on there that just seems to collapse and goes nowhere. Mm-hmm. There's some really powerful footage. Like, and Aliens and the Moon did not exactly get its point across in a very
Well, I mean, they did interview a couple of astronauts. They interviewed this guy, Edgar Mitchell, from the Apollo 14 missions. He actually walked on the moon himself. He says that he very strongly believes that there are alien structures on the far side of the moon. He's a firm believer in aliens. And I love that right after they showed the footage from Edgar Mitchell, they brought one of the quote-unquote experts on, and he was like, and he's a scientist. he's actually a scientist, and he believes in this
but
stuff.
These famously, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong both believe in alien contact. I mean, Neil Armstrong believed that they were tracked by lights when they went up there. Yeah, he saw lights in the sky, and he was afraid to report it back.
Yeah, he said they're here, they're parked around the crater, and they're watching us.
Yeah. Right. Which is also what he's doing to his ex-wife.
Which is awesome. You know, it's what you gotta do. Yeah, I love the astronaut perspective on it.
So
and
this
they're,
is kinda...
they're smart enough to know that there probably are aliens on the moon. I would assume if you're an astronaut, you have to have a wide view of the world, and I think they would be ignorant not to believe in extraterrestrial life.
I
Although
just
the moon being hollow is a little controversial.
I do imagine that I do imagine that astronauts have seen enough to know that reality is a little bit more fluid than we think. And when they talk about when things break down on a quantum level, which is where like kind of all the hooby-jooby stuff in the universe happens, like I'm certain they know that there's not enough math to back up all the shit that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So they know it. They understand, and they've seen shit. They went up there, they saw some stuff. They saw some anomalous stuff. But you know, they're also 75, and you know, they probably wear space helmet every once in a while, and they sit there going like 5, 4. They're like, Neil, it's time for your pudding.
And then he gets up off the lazy chair. Yes.
Go to liftoff to get my sweet, sweet pudding.
Oh, got to. Absolutely. What's your dick like? You got a little dick, but it's not hard there. But it's just kind of it must be kind of flailing there on the moon, huh? Like an American flag. Just kind of like,
I guess if you're naked.
Yeah.
I'd imagine I imagine dicks are pretty wrapped up.
That's really, it's
very
dangerous.
In space, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Your naked boy's fantasy on the moon, I don't think is going to happen this generation. Yeah. Well, so this pretty much wraps up.
What the hell was
that? Well, this wraps
not
up
this generation, but you know what? Write a letter to Richard Branson.
All right, I'll figure it out.
Well, this wraps up the aliens created the moon segment.
Yeah.
Now, question is, okay, maybe the aliens did make the moon. And where the fuck did this fake moon come from, and why is it so perfectly suited to generating human life?
Answer? Time travelers.
Uh-oh.
We built it.
We built it. Humanity has to go back soon. Has to go back in time 4.6 billion years to build the Earth's moon. Mm-hmm. So if humanity doesn't go back in time 4.6 billion years to build a moon, then humanity won't exist.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. And if they don't, and in the future, I mean, technically they came from a world who didn't build a moon, so I don't really know where they came from, but but they went and made sure that we'd have a moon.
Yeah. They went
time
back
traveling
and made sure.
People who are from the future, maybe.
Yeah, they're from the future.
Right.
Because we haven't gone back and built the moon yet.
So
at least as far as I know.
So that's why it's a hologram.
Well, no. This
are they conditioning us for the idea that a moon will exist in the future?
I don't...
See,
this is the problem.
You're the one. There is, first of all,
it's tough to say.
There's definitely a Mars.
Yes.
That I know, that Mars is a planet.
Mars. Love Mars.
So the Earth is a very unstable planet, very complex core. It's like many other planets in the solar system. It would have fallen over in its orbit, not once, but many times during its history, like a spinning top running down. You know, it spins, and then falls over. But the Earth, because of the moon, is able to spin on its axis in such a way that we have four seasons. Which is complete. I mean, that is necessary to life.
Yes.
Yeah. Life is the way we do it.
And it's evenly heated. The whole world. Again, mm-hmm. what we were saying before. It's all like it's very temperate. It's perfect for life.
Right.
Yeah. And it also, you know, that also means the presence of liquid water, which of course is crucial.
Love that liquid water. I can't get enough of this stuff.
Yeah, because it makes all the beer you love.
Mmm.
And also, again, it's like, and the moon is just too perfect. You can imagine that God would come. And just like imagining the moon to be as perfect as it would be akin to expecting nature to spontaneously create a car.
Yes.
Which is they did. It's called a horse.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We still use horsepower to this day to define how fast a car will go. Yeah. I don't think the moon's that perfect.
No, the moon, as far as creating life on Earth, yes.
And also,
yeah,
it doesn't look
amazing.
No, but it's perfect. It's the way it works. So it started off closer to Earth, and when the gravity from the moon really helped to solidify as a planet and create life here, and then has slowly drifted enough to make it basically easier for humans to now live here, mm-hmm. because then the tides would be too extreme. So that's also way too fucking perfect. And it's just like, if you just look at the fucking numbers,
what are the numbers?
What he says here, so this is from the website whobuiltthemoon.com,
yeah.
with Alan Butler and Christopher Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And what their thing is that they have put several things that they don't know if it's either explicit or implicit messages mm-hmm. that future humans have put into the moon and the way the moon works to show us that it's man-made
yeah.
and show us that we eventually are going to have to rebuild the moon. And I don't understand because we already got a moon.
Yeah. No.
Why do we want to get rid of the moon that we already made?
No, we don't got to get rid of the moon. Is that okay? Here's
they want more than
okay,
one
no,
moon.
No, wait, no. Here's
the jealousy issue. If we get a skinny moon, and we got this fat moon, and there's a skinny moon.
It's all the same moon. It's all the same moon. Okay, I think I got it figured out here.
Are we on the next timeline, though? Is this the one with Crispin Glover or with the guy dressed like Crispin Glover?
I love Crispin Glover and the guy dressed like him.
No, so what it is that the moon that we have right now,
uh-huh.
there are definite signs to get us up there, to explore the moon further. For example, the eclipse.
Yes.
The eclipse is something.
Sure. That is one of the messages that he says.
Yeah.
The solar eclipse and the fact that it's so perfectly done and so perfectly wraps around the sun is a thing to show him that, I mean, like, this is a little too perfect, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. And also the sunset and the moonrise, how the sun sets and the moon rises at almost equal rates.
In equal rates. That's way too perfect. It's kind of like when your girlfriend's sitting there just making dinner for you and you think and you watch her and she's making dinner and she's like, mm-hmm. just make yourself comfortable. And then the next thing you know, it's all over. Like it's a big lie.
Right. That is a lot like a hollow moon. Wow. Yeah. So, okay. All right. So the guy, I mean, these are, it is perfect. And you know, it's nice because you don't think about how beautiful these things are and
yeah.
how perfect they are.
He's right.
He did explain. The rising of the moon and the descent of the.
But then the last thing, he said the really big messages are the numbers involved.
Yeah.
The numbers involved. So let's just I'm going to read this directly off the page so we can, because I can't paraphrase it.
Yes. Yeah.
The sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, and the moon stands at 1/400th part of the distance between the Earth and the Moon,
mm-hmm.
number one. The Earth is 3.66 times bigger than the Moon, and the Earth year, thanks to the presence of the Moon, takes 366 days. It really does, but those are star days and not solar days. That's true.
And please, I hope you're all taking notes right now.
Take some notes.
If you are not taking notes, please rewind the podcast 20 seconds and take notes.
Because you're going to fail the Moon test that's going to happen. Yeah. Because the thing is that you're going to get free all access pass to the Moon if you get all the math or the Moon math questions.
Especially those that are coming to our shows in the United Kingdom.
From
from March 23rd to March 28th, there will be a moon test upon entrance.
It takes 27.322 days for the moon to fully orbit the Earth. That means that 366 orbits of the moon around the Earth take an absolutely even 10,000 days. The anthropic principle basically states that the universe is the way it is because if there were any other way, we would not be here to see it.
Yeah.
Astronomers in particular are reticent to look at any possibility where they'll take them outside the box.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The number 27.322, which we have just observed, is the number of days it takes the moon to orbit the Earth is highly significant.
Highly.
Both singly and it's in multiples on the Earth-Moon-Sun relationship. For example, the Sun is exactly 109.288 times the size of the Earth, which is 4 times 27.322.
322.
Even modern measuring systems were taken into account because the circumference of the moon in kilometers... It's 10,928.8 kilometers.
I'm about to clock out.
No.
Did I clock out?
400 times 27.322. And here's that 400 again, which you may recall is the number of times bigger the sun is than the moon.
Moon!
And as staggering as it may seem, the circumference of the moon is 27.322% that of the circumference of the Earth.
And it all boils down to a tripartite relationship between three numbers, their subdivision, and multiples. And at some time in the future, humanity will embark upon the most distant and most important journey it is ever likely to take. It will be necessary to travel 4.6 billion years into the past to complete a massive engineering project to create Earth's moon!
I feel like listeners have just subconsciously begun sexting their friends because they feel like they're freshman year in high school and they're just bored as shit.
My other question is, We already got the moon.
We have the moon.
Yeah, I know.
So why do we have to go back and build the moon again?
Well, the circumstances behind it are all explained in Alan Butler's 2012 book, Intervention, which I refuse to read.
We got
to
get the book.
I refuse. I'm not going
to. Self-published?
His intervention theory.
Yes, self-published. Penguin didn't pick this one up.
And literally,
not Penguin either.
His whole intervention theory is that future humans came back and did everything. Future humans came back and helped us build the pyramids. Future humans came back and helped us do, like, every single gigantic thing. And so all the stuff that future humans, I guess, just didn't have, and they were going to do the thing, be like, I'm going to give them what my daddy never gave me.
I'm
going to give them a pyramid. I'm going to give them a moon.
I think it's really nice that he calls slaves future humans. That's really nice. If you're a slave and you would live nowadays, you'd be like, I built the pyramids. I died building that.
No, put some sunglasses on you. Years. Now you're a future human.
Okay.
And now we want to play. So just in case the kind of truth that we laid on you today is something that is going to shatter your paradigm, and I'm sorry, but I just want to take this warning. I want you to take this and sit and listen to Jave Johnson and his heartbreaking truth.
Sit. Don't talk. Sit. And think about what you just saw. Take away all the magical powers of the so-called moon. All the magical powers that you quite literally learned about in the second grade. That's how sub-basement, low-level lie this is. You were told a bunch of magical powers. Oh, it controls the tides and the blah and the blah. Forget about all that nonsense. You have no proof of that. Nor do they. It's called a prevailing theory.
Mm.
And everyone who doesn't jump on the prevailing theory is labeled a moron.
Air quotes.
So I suggest this to you. All of those that liked to contend with me. And many of you... What's funny is you admit openly, oh, I didn't watch the video. And I feel good about it. Calling that guy a moron. I mean, that's quite literally real comments, you know. Close enough. And so, okay, fine, you don't want to look at this? If you don't look at something, how then do you have an opinion about something? Most people don't want to look at this information I give because it blows everything up. Everything they thought was real. Now, this is a lot bigger than telling you that World War II is a hoax, because it is. Or sunlight, because it is. or Columbine, or Aurora, or the controlled demolition of 9/11. All contrived and
lies. Just fucking rat them off.
Wow, yeah.
Where nobody died and nobody got hurt, but you'd rather believe in death and fairy tales and tides, regardless of what you see and are presented. It's what you would rather believe in. You have chosen your pantheon of gods. You put them up on a shelf.
The only thing you can believe in, the only thing that's real, is the KFC double down. That's the only thing that
dude believes
in. Ooh,
I can't wait to have that chicken-wrapped hot dog.
Oh, my God. He's in Indonesia first. It's got to come to us.
My goal is to go test out some caskets. Go get, just get a couple of big gulps, 2 to 3 big gulps, chow them down, and then get a double down hot dog and eat it under a highway.
That's perfect. What a goal that is, Henry.
That's called the Zabrowski Gold Package. Yeah. So if you want to come with me, that will just cost you 10 easy payments of $59.95.
That's awesome. You should usually, just kind of eat in a casket because you never know.
The moon is fake. Hope you don't like the moon. So
yeah, it's not real, apparently. So that kind of throws off everything.
Very upsetting.
I want to say there's a woman, Lisa. I don't necessarily want to say her last name, but she's a listener, and she's a good friend of my friend Maura. So thank you for listening, Lisa. And she listens in her kitchen. She runs a bakery with a whole series of staff, and she makes her staff listen to it. And I don't know if that's legal or not, but I want to say thank you very much for listening, Lisa.
Oh, and thank you very much, Amanda, for the very sweet box or bucket of goodies that we got.
Have we not thanked Amanda yet?
I don't think
we did. Oh, my God. Before we did. Yeah. Thank you so much. You have no idea what it meant to us.
I
want to
say thank you so much for freaking out every single person who works at the Postal Service or UPS or whoever you had to deliver the unbelievable massive blue tub that looks like it's full of a toxin or a chemical that will probably cause extreme burns to the skin.
And freaking out everyone here at the Creek in the Cave who couldn't wait until I came into work that day so I could take it off their hands and get it out from the wait station, because people were ordering food and looking at that
thing. Fun.
They were scared.
It was really good.
It was really, and hell, if you guys want to send us anything, the address is, you can put it, the Creek in the Cave, care of Last Podcast on the left, 1093 Jackson Avenue, Long Island City, New York, 11101. You can also go to Creek LIC and get the address from there.
I've been gaining weight at a rapid rate, so what I need is more beef jerky. Marcus, who made that beef jerky?
Randy, send us more beef jerky.
Oh, best beef jerky I've ever had, Randy.
So come see our UK shows March 23rd through the 27th. It's going to be a great time. We're starting to plan them now. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for listening. Let's do a hail yourselves.
Can everyone hail Satan for me? I need the strength and the power.
You need
a
hail Satan?
I need a hail Satan.
I'll give you a hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
And Heil Gein, for I accidentally got his hair cut yesterday.
What do you mean?
Did.
No, you look good.
You do look like a guy who's wearing his mom's tits as a shirt. hail me.
And Megustalations.
Oh, yeah, Megustalations.
Christ is fake.
The moon is fake.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com. And one last tiny little thing. We've got an official Twitter now at LP on the left. We're going to be posting tons of bonus material on there. You'll get previews for upcoming episodes. You'll get to see some of the research that me and Henry and Ben do every week. You'll be getting some spooky, crazy music that I listen to while I research. You'll be getting some videos that we show when we do the live shows, the fourth Saturday of every month here at the Creek in the Cave. And a bunch of other just weird shit, whatever we find. So go and follow us at LP on the left, where you find all of your bonus Last Podcast material.